So Mark chapter 2 is where we will be tonight, and we'll look at verses 1 through 12. So Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. How many of you guys are taking notes? How many of you guys are not taking notes? It's okay, you can raise your hand. I'm not. No one's judging you. Psst, I can't believe I'm not taking notes. No one's kidding. So Mark chapter 2, I want to encourage you, if you're able to, take notes. I remember when I was in high school, it was easier for me to pay attention and follow along if I didn't take notes, so there's no judgment in not taking notes. But anyway, if you can take notes, I want to encourage you to do so. But if you're taking note mentally or in your notebook or on a piece of paper, the title of this message is Faithful Forgiveness. Faithful Forgiveness. Mark chapter 2, we're going to see Faithful Forgiveness. So Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 1, someone say, the Bible says. Yes. And again, he, speaking of Jesus, entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic man who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Then notice this very key verse tonight. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to you, or to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk?'" Verse 10, this is Jesus to them. "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house." And then notice what happens here. Verse 12, immediately this paralyzed man, he arose, took up his bed and went out in the presence of all the people so that all were amazed and glorified God saying, "We never saw anything like this." Let's pray. Father, I come before you this evening. And Lord, we just want to commit this night to you. Lord, I pray that you give us hearing ears tonight to hear from Jesus. That you give us open eyes to see Jesus. That you give us open hearts to receive the things that your word is instructing us to do. The encouragement we need. The building up we need. Lord, in this world, there are many trials, there are many tribulations, there are many struggles. And Father, we come before you to seek refreshment and encouragement. And Father, I pray that you would do that to our hearts tonight. Lord, as the end of this scripture says, that they were amazed because they had never seen anything like this. Father, I pray that these students would come in tonight and they would leave amazed because of what you've done in them, through them, and for them. And so, Lord, I thank you for this night. We commit it to you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Everybody said, amen. Yes. You guys are participating well. Praise the Lord. The great author, William Arthur Ward, he was an author who lived in the early 1900s. He said this, and it's a very good quote and relevant for our teaching tonight. He said, and I quote, "We are most like beasts when we kill. We are most like men when we judge. We are most like God when we forgive." And I bring that up because tonight we see a moment in history where we see astounding forgiveness. These 12 verses, the main theme within them is they are verses about forgiveness. It's astounding forgiveness, amazing forgiveness. You see, Jesus looks at this paralyzed man. Jesus looks at this man who cannot walk, who has to be in a bed, and he looks at this paralyzed man, and notice what he says in verse 5. Look down at your Bible in verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Now, this great forgiveness that Jesus gave to this paralyzed man, it made these scribes or these religious people upset. It made them angry. They were upset because the idea was, how is it that Jesus could forgive? How is it that this man could offer this forgiveness? So it upset them. But here's the reality. Just like that quote by William Arthur Ward, where he said, "We are most like God when we forgive," Jesus was demonstrating to be God when he offered this forgiveness. You see it kind of in verse 6 through 7. Look at your Bible in verse 6. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And so when Jesus offers this paralyzed man forgiveness, what he's showing there is, I have the power to forgive because I am God. I'm not just a man. I'm not just born of a virgin. I'm not just a prophet. I'm not just a miracle worker, but I am God who has the capability to forgive. I mean, that's what they were saying. How is it that this man can just come and act like he has the power to forgive people? You see, what God's word wants to show us here is this, that in Jesus, forgiveness is possible. That in Jesus and only in Jesus alone can God forgive. That the God of the universe has chosen to forgive a sinful mankind in this God-man, Jesus. That's why the Bible goes on further in John chapter 14, verse 6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You see, Jesus is the only way to forgiveness. Jesus is the only way to life, truth. And so we come to this moment where the sinful mankind can come to Jesus, and God has chosen to forgive through Jesus. And notice what happens in verse 8. You see, in verse 8, immediately it says, "When Jesus perceived in spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, 'Why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins,' he then goes on to heal the man in verse 11. 'I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house.' And immediately this man arose," verse 12 tells us. And so as the people question Jesus' power to forgive, that's what he does. He demonstrates his power by also healing him. He says, "Yeah, it's easy for me just to say, hey, your sins are forgiven. No one can test that. No one can know that. No one can look within the heart of the man to see if really his sins are forgiven." But Jesus goes, "Hey, to show you, to show everyone around you that I have the power to forgive, I'll also heal him. So guess what? Arise and get up and take up your bed." And so the man does it right away. And Jesus is demonstrating his power not only to forgive sins, but also to heal. And that's why Psalm 103:3 says this, "Who forgives all your iniquities and who heals all your diseases?" You see, forgiveness is God's work to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But there's a second dynamic to this that we're going to look at, because this section of scripture shows us that this forgiveness of the man started with faith. That Jesus wanted to forgive the man, and Jesus does forgive the man, but it started with faith. You see, tonight we're going to talk about and look at faith and forgiveness, because faith and forgiveness go hand in hand. There's faith and there's forgiveness, but they're not separate necessarily. They're two vital things within the heart of man, two vital things within our relationship with Christ. Notice this forgiveness in verse 5 again. It's our key verse. You see, Jesus says this. Look down at your Bible in verse 5. When Jesus saw their what? Their faith. Say that with me. Faith. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." There's faith and there's forgiveness. So tonight, God's word is going to show us the importance of faith and forgiveness in the life of the believer. It would be my desire, and it's God's desire for you tonight, to leave with a greater understanding of how faith and forgiveness works within your life. That without faith and without forgiveness, there is no Christianity. Without faith, without forgiveness, there is no relationship with God, relationship with Jesus. They go hand in hand. They are important in the vitality of the believer. So point number one, we're going to examine faith. So number one, if you're taking note, write down faith. We'll see this faith acted out and worked out in verses 1 through 5. We're going to read them again. I want you to get the gist of this. So the Bible says this in verse 1. And again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralyzed man who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Excuse me. Thank you. So we see this faith in verse 5. Sorry, I'm sick, so my voice is hopefully going to hold up through this teaching. But we see this faith, and this faith is very important for us because in the original language, faith means this. When the Bible talks about faith, it's talking about confidence in Christ. So look down at your Bible in verse 5. Look down in your Bible again. In verse 5, we see when Jesus saw their faith. So the idea here is you, excuse me, I'm sorry. The idea here is this. You could look within the, you can circle that word faith and you can put next to it confidence in Christ. When Jesus saw their confidence in Christ, he gave them forgiveness. Now notice this. Put yourself in the story for a moment. I want to kind of go through this story with you because I don't want to miss it. You see, this paralyzed man had four friends. This paralyzed man had four friends. Okay, notice this. And these four friends were a part of his life. So as he had these four friends that were a part of his life, these men had a goal. And so as they looked at their paralyzed friend, looked at his struggles, looked at his weakness, looked at his inability to walk and take care of himself, they looked at him, and in their care and love for him, what they did is this. They said, we have one goal, and that's to get our friend healed. We want to take him. We want to get him healed. So these men faced many obstacles in trying to get their friend healed. But notice what happens here. You see, they faced many obstacles, but their confidence in Jesus helped them overcome each obstacle they faced. You see, these men take their paralyzed friend to Jesus because they are confident that Jesus can heal them. Notice this, it goes further. So they're confident that Jesus can heal them. Their faith is in the fact that Jesus can absolutely heal him. That we have a friend who's never walked, he's paralyzed, but ultimately we know if we bring him to Jesus, we are confident that Jesus can heal our friend. But notice the first obstacle. The first obstacle is this, it's a long journey. And so even though there's a long journey, their confidence in Jesus overcame the long journey. We're like, hey, don't care about the obstacle of it being a long journey. Our confidence in Jesus overcomes that obstacle. But then notice this, it's not just a long journey to Jesus, but they had to carry their friend. This wasn't a backpack. This wasn't something that was easy to carry. They had to bear the weight of their friend because he was paralyzed. But their confidence in Jesus overcame that obstacle. It didn't hold them back. Then they finally, after a long travel, after carrying their friend many miles and finally coming to Jesus, look at what happens. It comes to this place where all of a sudden the scripture tells us that the place was filled. They get there and it's so crowded there's not even room by the door, not even room by the window to hear Jesus. And so that's their next obstacle. But now their confidence in Jesus still overcomes that obstacle and gives them the wisdom to think beyond it. And they go, though we can't get into the house, what if we climb? What if we climb onto the roof, open up the roof, and lower our friend in? You see, their confidence overcame all the obstacles. Their faith in Christ overcame everything that came their way. You see, the idea here is this. It's been said that faith is the stubborn refusal to not give up hope. That's super important. Faith is the stubborn refusal to not give up hope. You see, what happens in this life is when we face many obstacles, we face a long journey. We face the weight of our friends, the weight of our circumstances. We come to the place where we finally think God has brought us and it's overcrowded, we can't even get in. We come to this place where obstacle after obstacle, burden after burden, circumstance after circumstance, and what do? We lose hope. And what faith is that stubborn refusal to not give up hope. It's a confidence in Christ that says, I refuse to give up hope. This situation is hopeless. This situation looks hopeless, but I refuse. I stubbornly refuse to not give up hope. You see, that's what these men did so well. They refused to give up hope because of their confidence in Jesus. Not their confidence in themselves, not their confidence in their circumstances getting better, but their confidence alone in Christ Jesus. And finally, as they break through the roof and lower their friend down to Jesus, this is the moment they've been waiting for. So they've overcome all obstacles. This is great. This is like the climax of the story for a moment. So follow me as my voice falls apart. But the climax of the story is this. They finally climb the roof. They open up the roof. They lower their friend down. Jesus sees him. And notice what happens here. Jesus says, because of the faith of your friends, your sins are forgiven. Do you notice that? Look at verse 5 again. In verse 5, the Bible says this. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Wait a second. Forgiveness of sins? What was their goal? Does anyone remember? To get their friend healed. The goal was, hey, we see our friend. We see his struggle. We see that he can't walk. We see that he can't take care of himself. So our goal is Jesus can heal. And so we're going to bring him to Jesus. They had confidence so much in Jesus healing him that they overcame every obstacle. They climbed the roof. They open up the roof. They lower him down. And what does Jesus do? Your sins are forgiven. No. That's not why we brought him here. That's not why you let us overcome every single obstacle. That's not what our confidence was in. Jesus, we didn't overcome every single obstacle for forgiveness. That was not what we were looking for. We overcame all obstacles because we expected you to heal our friend. We expected you to say, get up and rise and walk. That was our expectation. You see, has this ever happened to you before? I don't know if this has ever happened to you in your walk with Jesus, where you're walking with Jesus and you're overcoming obstacles and you have your faith in Christ and you're confident in what he can do, you're confident in what he can do, and all of a sudden you get to the place where you think God's led you and he does something completely different and your expectations are crashed down. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but that's what happened to these friends. Yes, he's going to heal them. Your sins are forgiven. What? No. That's not why you led us here, God. That's not why we had faith in you. You've healed all these people. Look at all these people. Do you realize that's what Jesus was doing? He came into towns and he healed people and preached the word. And so they're expecting he's going to heal our friend. And no, let down by his circumstances. I know this has happened to me with God. I've had such a confidence in him and I feel let down. See, maybe for you, you've had the confidence in Jesus that he would help you through a difficult circumstance, but you feel as though he hasn't. And maybe for you, you've had the confidence that Jesus can heal a broken relationship that you've been through, but he hasn't. And maybe for you, you've had the confidence in Jesus that he can fix your broken home life, but he hasn't. And you've overcome every obstacle and you've continued to be in faith and you've continued to have this confidence in Christ. You've kept your eyes on him. You've worshiped him. You've read your Bible. You've done everything that you feel as though is right, just like these men in the story. And you come to this moment and God hasn't done what you expected him to do. Come to Jesus with this great expectation and great anticipation, and it's though Jesus has let you down. You see, God's word brings this about because many times we feel as though Jesus has let us down because we have put our faith in what God can do instead of who God is. You see, many of us go through life putting our faith in what God can do instead of in who God is. That's very important. Because there is a vast difference there. There's a difference between putting your faith in what God can do and putting your faith in who God is. Yes, God absolutely can fix your home life. Yes, God absolutely can heal your relationships. Yes, God absolutely can heal that family member who has cancer or some sort of sickness. God absolutely can do these things. But here's the question, what if he doesn't? What if he doesn't? You're praying. Your confidence is in that he can. Your confidence may even be in that he will. But what happens when he doesn't? You see, it's that moment, it's in that moment where he doesn't, that if you've put your faith in that circumstance being fixed, that family being fixed, your person in your life who needs healing being healed, and he doesn't do it, it leads to a broken faith. Because you put your faith in what God can do instead of in who he is. And many people go through life and they leave churches and they leave Christianity and they abandon their relationship with Christ because they have put their faith in what God can do, and when he doesn't do it, their faith is broken. You see, what God's word wants us to do, what God would have you do, is don't put your faith in what God can do. Put your faith in who God is. You see, believers do not base their faith on what God can do. They base their faith on who God is. Now, let me tell you a couple things that God is, that no matter what happens in your life, it will never change. These things. God is good. That will not change. We know that God is good. Another thing we know, God is gracious. We see that so much, even within the story of the prodigal son, where the prodigal son goes and squanders away his life, but then the father, when he comes back, he has his arms wide open, and he cuts the fatted calf, saying, welcome back into the family. God is gracious. God is good. God is gracious. God is loving. God is merciful. These things will never change. Your circumstances will change. Sometimes they'll be broken. Sometimes they'll be joyous. Your situations, your friendships, your relationships, your status of life, your wealth, your health, all of that is going to change over the course of life. But the things that will not change is God is good, God is gracious, God is loving, and God is merciful. That will never change. If you put your faith in that, then you will be steady. Your faith will never be broken. You see, if my confidence is in those things, even if my circumstances don't change, my faith is not broken. If my confidence is in who God is, even though my circumstances never get fixed, even though my circumstances never change, even though God never leads me out of the valley of the shadow of death, my faith still remains in him because he doesn't change. Again, it's this idea. It's been said that faith is the stubborn refusal to not give up hope. The stubborn refusal to not give up hope. You see, that's the mark of a believer. I don't know if you've ever seen a believer who is like a true, surefire believer and they've got like a diagnosis of cancer. There's a lady here within our church who has been diagnosed with cancer for a long time. And each time she goes through a bout of chemo, each time she goes through another treatment, each time she gets a further worse diagnosis, she continues to have faith in who God is. Yeah, she comes and we lay hands on her and she goes, pray that I be healed. And we've prayed and we've prayed and we've prayed and God has not healed her, but her faith has remained because she's put her faith in who God is. God is loving. God is gracious. God is good. God is merciful, even if the cancer takes my life. See, her faith has remained because it's in Christ, not in her circumstances, or not in God fixing her circumstances. Here's some application maybe to this, or some evaluation more. You see, I know that this life is hard. I know that I'm far removed from high school. I know the generation is even different. I graduated 10 years ago. And so I know things are different. I know it's like, Daniel, even 10 years ago, things were different. I get it. I know life is hard. I know campus life is hard. I know homeschool life is hard. I know that life is hard. I know that there are struggles. I know that there are ups and downs and defeats. But the question you have to ask yourself tonight and you need to go to the Lord with is, have you given up hope? Because if faith is the stubborn refusal to give up, to not give up hope, tonight, have you given up hope? Have your circumstances left you in a place where you have given up your hope? In other words, has God let you down? Could you look at your life and go, God has let me down? Or can you come to the conclusion that actually it's your circumstances that have let you down? That you've put too much of your hope and your faith and your circumstances getting better, and because they have not, your faith is broken. That's a good evaluation tonight. Have you given up hope? Have you given up hope? Tonight, you need to put your confidence in his goodness and his love and his mercy and his grace towards you. Even having these prayers of thanksgiving, that's why the Bible says, give up prayers of thanksgiving. You know, be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. And then the Bible promises that peace of God, or the peace that surpasses understanding, that peace that guards your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. You see, thankfulness for his grace and his love and his mercy and his goodness, even in the bad circumstances. So we see the importance of faith in the life of the believer. It's that stubborn refusal to not give up hope. But now we're going to see the importance of forgiveness. So number one, faith. Number two, if you're taking note, forgiveness. Forgiveness is an important thing in the life of the believer. Look down at your Bible in verse 5 again. The Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, like we just talked about, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are what? Forgiven. Say that with me. One, two, three. Son, your sins are forgiven you. Now jump down in your Bible to verse 9. The Bible says, which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately, this man arose, took up his bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Here's what's great. I love that end line. I love that end line because they had never seen anything like this forgiveness and this faith. They had never seen anything like this healing that Jesus had done, where Jesus offered forgiveness and then demonstrated that power to forgive by what? By healing the man. Now, this word forgiven, when you look at it, it means this, to let go or to give up a debt. You see, in other words, what Jesus is saying is going, I've let go of this man's sins. I have forgiven the debt that this man owes because of his sin. That's what he means by forgiveness. I have let go this man's sins, but I've also forgiven the debt that is owed because of this man's sin. And what is the sin? What does the Bible say sin deals with? Or what does the Bible say that sin is owed? What is the debt of sin? The Bible says this, for the wages of sin is death. So what is Jesus forgiven? Jesus has forgiven the debt that is owed, the death that is owed because of this man's sin. He looks at this man and he goes, your sins are forgiven. The debt that you owe, the death, for the wages of sin is death, that is forgiven. You see, what Jesus is trying to show us here is the greatest need for this man was not to be healed of his paralyzed state. That was not the greatest need. The greatest need of this man when he was brought to Jesus saw his paralyzed state, but he also saw his spiritual state. Jesus looked into the heart of this man and he goes, hey, yeah, I know what's more amazing to everyone outwardly is to heal you and say, arise and walk, but I'm gonna look at you and go, the greatest need is for your sins to be forgiven. So as he sees this man, he goes, hey, guess what? Because of the faith of your friends to bring you to me, your sins are forgiven. The greatest need of this man was not his paralyzed state, it was the forgiveness of his sins, because his sins were what? The paralyzed man throughout his life is gonna live a life of struggle, absolutely, here on this earth. But his sins were going to bring him condemnation for all of eternity, death and hell, judgment. And so Jesus said, hey, guess what? I'm going to go after that. I'm going to forgive your sins that lead to death. And absolutely, Jesus offers this freely because of his death and his resurrection. There's a story of Abraham Lincoln that I really love when it comes to forgiveness. And that story goes like this. Abraham Lincoln was asked by kind of a reporter back in the day. There wasn't like Channel 7 News or anything like that. But there were still reporters. They would still write articles. And so this man comes to Abraham Lincoln and he goes, hey, what are you going to do with the Southerners who fought against you in the Civil War? What are you going to do with them once all this is settled? Because they come to the point where they're in victory, the slaves are free. So what are you going to do with those Southerners? And what this man was thinking was that Abraham Lincoln was going to crucify them, hang them, you know, make an example of them that they completely were against the state or against the Union. And here's what Abraham Lincoln said. He said, I will treat them as if they had never been away. I will treat the Southerners, the ones that were for slavery, the ones that fought against us, the ones that fought against their own countrymen, and I will treat them as if they had never before left. You see, that's a beautiful picture of what Jesus talked about in the prodigal son. You see, the prodigal son goes, and I talked about it a little bit earlier, he goes and squanders away his life, his wealth, his health, everything. Comes to the place where he's eating in the pig's pen. And he comes back to his father, and his father treats him as though he had never left before. You see, it's that great moment, and that's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness meets the greatest need. Forgiveness costs the greatest price. Forgiveness brings the greatest blessing, and forgiveness leads to lasting results. I'm going to repeat that because I think oftentimes we think we don't need forgiveness. We think there are other needs in our lives that are more prevalent or more important. But notice what happens here. Forgiveness meets the greatest need in your life. Forgiveness costs the greatest price that will ever be paid for you. Forgiveness brings the greatest blessing to your life, and forgiveness leads to lasting results in your life. Forgiveness is the greatest thing. Tonight, as we begin to close up, I want you to understand something from this scripture. something that's very important, something that I know God wants you to hear. And it's forgiveness, just like we've been talking about. Because tonight, Jesus offers the same forgiveness he gave this paralyzed man to you. Tonight, Jesus, the Bible says, stands at the door and he knocks. And he's knocking on your door, on the door of your heart. Because the same forgiveness that he offered this man 2,000 years ago when he walked the earth, the same forgiveness where he looked into this man's heart and he saw the greatest need. The greatest need of this man was the forgiveness of his sins that were going to lead to his death. And Jesus offers that same forgiveness to you. You see, the forgiveness that he offers can meet the greatest need of your life, which is dealing with your sin. And understand, it doesn't meet just the greatest need, but it's cost the greatest price. It cost Jesus his life. That Jesus looked upon you. He looked upon your laziness. He looked upon your apathy. He looked upon your darkness. He looked upon your lust. He looked upon your lying. He looked upon your gossip. He looked upon your divisive heart. He looked upon your hatred. He looked upon your anger. He looked upon any number of sins that you have had in your life. And Jesus looked at those things. He sees into your heart. And he goes, I realize it's going to cost my life to save them. And he does it. The greatest need in your life is forgiveness, and he offers it. It cost him his life. It brings the blessing of being welcomed into his family, and it leads to lasting results of spending eternity with him. And Jesus is offering the same forgiveness that he gave this man to you tonight. And so understand something very important here. There's really only two questions you have to answer. That all that's been said over the last 40 minutes or so comes to this climactic moment where if you ignored everything, it doesn't matter because you have these two questions. First one is this: have you put your faith and trust in Jesus and received his forgiveness? If Jesus has offered it tonight, specifically to you and your sin, have you ever put your faith and trust in his work of the cross and received his forgiveness? You see, the Bible says, just like we looked at earlier, the wages of sin is death. But there's a second part to that verse that is so important to us. Because the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but then it goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, or you're looking through that question and thinking through and going, have I ever put my faith and trust in Jesus and received his forgiveness? If you have, praise the Lord, because you've received his gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. But here's the second question. If you've not put your faith and trust in Jesus, would you do that tonight? You see, we don't come to scriptures with faith and forgiveness just to ignore it and go, okay, whatever. I've heard this before. 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 And I say it like that over and over because your heart and your mind grows numb to it. And there's going to come a point where your heart becomes so hardened that you just walk away and you never have a chance to hear it ever again. Understand something so important. There is nothing worth more in this life than the forgiveness that Jesus offers tonight, that the forgiveness that you can walk in over the course of your life. Whether you get married, whether you have wealth, whether you have a great house, whether you have amazing cars, whether you have the best riches in all the world, whatever your greatest hope is or aspiration is to be in this life, there is nothing greater than forgiveness. Nothing. And not a lot of people tell you that. You see, this world pushes so many different agendas onto you. You see, your teachers are telling you that the most important thing right now is for you to get into college. College, 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 college. And that's all you hear. And you have the pressure and the weight of this world. If I don't get into college, my future is done. But Jesus comes to you and he says, forget it. Forget about the pressure and the weight of this world. Come to me and I will give you my forgiveness, which leads to a greater future than just college. Yeah, college is important. Great. But forgiveness leads to the lasting result of eternity in heaven with him. You see, everything in comparison to this forgiveness that Christ offers because of his death and resurrection is vanity. The Bible says it's a chasing after the wind. College is like going and going, yes, I'm chasing after it, I got it. And it's like chasing after the wind. It's crazy, it's foolish. But forgiveness is real. And it costs, it meets your greatest need. It gives the greatest blessing, and it brings lasting results. So have you put your faith and trust in Jesus and received his forgiveness? If yes, praise the Lord. If no, would you do that tonight?